Good morning. Our scripture today comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. Second Thessalonians, we're continuing in the study of Thessalonians, and I believe as we look at it today, I believe it's very easy to make a connection between this and the purpose of what I believe God would want us to do in terms of celebrating Mother's Day today. So follow along with me, if you would. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Lord, once again, we just ask as we come now to looking into your word, that everything is said, that everything is shared, is in accordance with your will, with what you desire. And anything that is not is blown away as chaff in the wind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, just jumping right in. The first verse we read here, verse 15, I refer to as standing firm in the truth. Paul encourages us to hold to traditions and teachings that we receive. The phrase stand firm is actually a Greek military term using urging soldiers not to abandon their post during battle. It means remaining steadfast in the truth of the gospel, refusing to be shaken by error, false doctrine, or fear. Now, I'm not going to take forever to talk about what error and false doctrine and fear may look like, but you know the things in your life. You know the things you may have even experienced in churches that Satan can use that makes other things more important than what God really has to say in his scripture. And so we want to make sure that we're standing firm on the truth of what God says, what God provides for us. And then there's this idea of holding fast to tradition, which is also in verse 15. Paul instructs the church to hold fast to the traditions, referring to the doctrinal teachings passed by the apostles, not the color of the carpet in the sanctuary. Now, we have traditions, and traditions are important. Traditions are something that we can celebrate. We're going to be having an anniversary celebration this year. It's going to be big. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to celebrate some of the traditions that Woodland has been a part of, and those are good things. But the traditions that are being talked about here, we need to make sure they're the ones that get lifted up. They're the ones that get priority, and they are the traditions that are set forth in the scriptures that provide the doctrine for us as believers to know the way God desires us to live. Well, mothers, I believe, and I've seen it in my own mother and many others as well, mothers often hand down faith and godly traditions. Mothers encourage children to stay rooted in truth despite what the world may say. And the world says a lot. The source of strength for us to be able to do this, I believe, we find in verses 16 and 17. True stability does not come from self-effort. And sometimes we think if we work hard enough, if we can do it. There's that scripture that's in the Bible, right, that says God helps those who helps themselves. Ah, I hear some chuckles. That ain't in the Bible nowhere. Because if we could really help ourselves, would we even need God? So this idea of our source of strength, it's not from our self-effort, but from God, who has given believers everlasting consolation, unending comfort, and good hope through grace. God provides this, and we get strength from that. Now, we have to be willing to connect with God. We have to be willing to seek God. We have to be willing to trust God, but I'm telling you, and there are many people here who have, and I believe will, if you give them half an opportunity to give testimony to how God has done that in their life and how in the midst of that comfort, they do find strength and they do find the ability to continue to go forward in life. Not in an easy way, but in a way that they know that their Lord is with them. God is the source of eternal comfort and encouragement. Well, a mother's nurturing love for some can be the closest earthly reflection of that divine comfort. Mothers often model God's comforting presence, comforting children through life's trials, and empowering them to continue their faith journey. It happens over and over again. I also want to talk about what it means to strengthen hearts and homes. In the scripture it said, "May God comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." God encourages and establishes hearts, enabling Christians to perform every good work and word, resulting in stable, purposeful life that brings honor to Him. Mothers not only build homes, but also build hearts. They are the encouragers who establish a firm foundation of love and diligence. I hope you see, as we look into these scriptures today, how it is connected, how it is relevant to who God created mom to be. But it's not just about the moms, it's about all of us. But still, being Mother's Day, I want us to look at a few moms that we find in the Bible. I invite the mothers in particular, because I'm going to have a little message for you, although others will get to listen to it, a little message for you after we look through each of these women in the Bible. The first is Sarah, and I call her the mother who waited. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, we learned that now Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. But in Genesis 15, when the word of the Lord came to Abram, he answered, "What will you give me, Lord, since you have not given me an heir?" God tells him to look at the stars in the sky, for they would be the number of his offspring. Abraham and Sarah waited 15 years before God renewed his promise, and 10 more years before the promise was fulfilled, and Sarah bore a son, Isaac. Now, Sarah would not have won an award for her faithful waiting, because if you know much about the story, she kind of laughed and said, "Really, God, that's going to happen?" She doubted and even laughed at the possibility of what God said was able to come true. Can you imagine waiting that long for a blessing? Sarah tried to believe the promise, but she had doubts until it finally came to fruition. Then she laughed with joy at what the Lord had done. Isaac would go on to continue the legacy of his father, Abraham. A second mother, Jochebed. I call her the mother who was determined to find a way. Jochebed, mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, defied the Pharaoh's decree to kill Hebrew baby boys by hiding Moses for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she showed determination and ingenuity, placing him in a waterproof papyrus basket on the Nile, which led to him being adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. In turn, God worked it out for her to be hired to nurse her own son. Jochebed was not willing to accept the death of her child, acting against the king's edict. She created a specialized waterproof basket using tar and pitch to protect him from the river. She placed the basket among the reeds where Pharaoh's daughter would, would soon bathe rather than simply abandon him in the Nile current. The woman knew what she was doing, and she had a plan. She instructed her daughter Miriam to watch the basket to see what would happen. Her boldness, her determination not only saved Moses' life, but also resulted in her, as we already talked about, being paid to raise her own child in the safety of the royal household. So we have Sarah and we have Jochebed. Now we have Samson's mother. Now she's not mentioned by name in the book of Judges, although some would say she is Hazelpani, mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, but we don't know this for sure. But what she did is probably more important than her name. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Has God ever asked you to do something, to follow rules, particularly rules that others just didn't feel were necessary? Samson's mother did. She is portrayed as a devout, obedient, rule-following woman of faith. When an angel revealed she would bear a son to deliver Israel, she was instructed to follow what we would call strict Nazarite rules during her pregnancy, avoiding alcohol and unclean food, which she and her husband upheld. She gave birth and named the baby Samson, and the Lord blessed him. Although some of his actions may have been questionable, the Lord used him mightily in his plan to defeat the Philistines. I got two more. Naomi. She was the mother-in-law who lived out her faith. Hear this. Naomi and her family left their home because of famine and fled to a country of Moab. Despite living in Moab and experiencing grief, Naomi's life and character were such that Ruth desired to adopt her faith, her culture, and her God. You see, Ruth had lost her husband. And it would have been advisable for Ruth to return to her homeland and find another husband who could provide for her. This is what Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, told her. But even in her own distress, Naomi sought the welfare of her daughters-in-law. There were two of them, encouraging them to find security rather than focusing on her own needs. Naomi was honest about her bitterness with God, yet returned to Bethlehem with faith to start over, serving as a model of resilience and trust in God's providence. She guided Ruth, her daughter-in-law, and acted as a wise, nurturing figure, fostering the relationship with Boaz, through which God blessed them both. And finally, Elizabeth, the mother who believed in miracles. According to Luke 1, Elizabeth was elderly and barren. The scriptures characterize Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah both as righteous before God. Her pregnancy was a miraculous intervention that proved no situation is beyond God's power. Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, who was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. She celebrated as a mother who, because of her faith, was able to accept the miraculous truth of God with humility and joy. So, moms, which mother of the Bible do you identify with today? Which one reminds you of your gifts and abilities that God has given you to use not only in raising your children, but also in impacting the kingdom of God? Here they are. Sarah, the mother who waited. Jochebed, the mother who was determined to find a way. Samson, Samson's mother, the mother who followed the rules. Naomi, the mother-in-law who lived out her faith. And Elizabeth, the mother who believed in miracles. Now I want to ask you another question, now that you've thought about where is it that you see yourself in these women. Which mother of the Bible challenges you, inspires you to do more with God than you can possibly do on your own? Consider these mothers we've mentioned today. But I hope we will remember the lessons, the inspiration of these five mothers of the Bible, and there are many more. But hear me. Hear. This is important. Take this message. I do not want you moms to strive to be like these five women, as much as I would encourage you to follow their example of using the gifts God has given you to be a mother. And then for all of us, to use the gifts God's given us to be a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a friend, a co-worker, an employee, a supervisor, a teacher, or even just an acquaintance, as God is calling you to be. Because that's who these women were. They were who God allowed and called them to be in that moment. And that's what today's message is about. I invite you to recognize that God seeks to give you courage and strength to trust Him, to grow in faith and ability beyond your own, and accomplish things that you can't even imagine right now. I invite our praise team to come back. Moms, if you're being honest and I'm having a one-on-one conversation with you today, you would probably tell me you've been blessed, that there are things about your children that God has really blessed you with and you're thankful for that. But if you're really honest, you would tell me, you know, there's times it's been hard. There's times it's been a struggle. There's times I haven't known what was going to happen the next day and how I was supposed to get there. That's being real. But I tell you, the scripture that we have today is intended not only to be a promise, but a truth of comfort. Not just for moms, but all of us. As we go through, as we face the things that the world gives us. But God is more powerful. God is more capable. God has already overcome everything the world throws at us if we just are willing to give it to Him. And I tell you, it makes our lives different. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to change that. And I would love to have that conversation with you. We always say the altar is open, and I'm always here to have that conversation with someone. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the thing that turns your life around. If it's genuine, your life won't be the same after that. I tell young people, as I begin talking, I'll start talking, I ask young guys, I say, you ever thought about the first car you're going to get? What that's going to look like? You're going to get a truck? You're going to get one of them jacked up trucks? You're going to get a fast car? What are you going to get? And then I'll talk about, well, has anybody ever thought about the first house you're going to live in? Hey, how many rooms is it going to have? How much are you going to have to pay for it? And then sometimes with the ladies, you ever thought about who you're going to marry? You ever thought about what that wedding is going to be like? Are these important decisions? Are they? Yes, every one of them is important. But I tell you, not a single one of them, not all of them together, is as important as deciding to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because when you do that, and you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, and you seek to follow Him, the amazing thing is all those things that I just mentioned, it has a tremendous impact on every one of them and everything else in your life. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really do need to consider making that decision today. And I'll be here to have that conversation and pray with you. But if for some reason you don't feel that you can come today, although I believe God honors that if he's nudging you and you do it, I'm available at other times too. And there are many other people. It doesn't have to be me. But if you want to talk to someone, please do. Don't put God off. Let's stand together. As we do, respond however God may lead.